Amen. Well, I have a cousin. I really do. And he actually happens to be a surfer. He lives in Malibu, and most of his adult life, he has been surfing. He's skilled. He knows what waves to look for. He's got the right equipment, and he knows how to use it. However, there's one thing that my cousin can't do. My cousin cannot make a wave. He can't make a wave. He can ride a wave, but he can't make a wave. He can't generate the waves. He can only get ready to catch a wave and then ride it into shore. Breakthroughs in our lives are very similar to that. We can't generate a breakthrough in our lives for ourselves. Not a real breakthrough. We can try to alter circumstances. We can work really hard, push really hard, and see what'll happen. But I'm talking about a real breakthrough, a breakthrough of heaven, the kind of breakthrough that only God can give. We can't generate the breakthrough, but we can position ourselves. We can be attentive. We can be aware that the breakthrough is coming, and then we can trust God enough to catch it and to ride it to exactly where He wants to take us. The Lord is sending opportunity for breakthrough in our lives all the time. Do you perceive it? God's the author of the breakthrough. Similarly, Matthew chapter 9, verse 28, Jesus refers to the Lord as the Lord of the harvest. How many of you have heard that? He's the Lord of the harvest. And harvest is the result of breakthrough. When you have breakthrough, God-sized breakthrough, kingdom of God breakthrough in a life, in a church, in a community, in a nation, the result of that breakthrough is harvest. And the prophet Joel has been speaking of a harvest that is coming. We looked at it last week in chapter 2, verse 19. He spoke of the grain, the new wine, the oil. He said, the Lord will reply to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil enough to satisfy you fully. Sounds like a harvest to me. That's a result of breakthrough. However, as we continue in the prophetic word of Joel, this reset word that God has for us, we discover that there's more. This breakthrough, this harvest that God has planned for us is of epic or of biblical proportions. And I want to say this one thing. If you want breakthrough, if you want anything of biblical proportion in your life, then read it. Read the Bible and look at the biblical proportions that God has for us. Look at the breakthrough, the freedom, the love, the joy, the peace that passes understanding, transcends our circumstances. These things of biblical proportion that God has outlined and promised to us. And one of those things is harvest. He has a harvest, a result of breakthrough, a biblical kingdom of God, only God proportion. And like my cousin catching that wave, we all have an opportunity to see it. We all have an opportunity to ride it. So here comes the harvest. And that's the title of today's message. Here comes the harvest. And I'm going to ask you to do this. I don't do this every week, but sometimes I do. Some of you love it. Some of you can't stand it, but I'm going to do it. So here we go. We're going to say this together because I want us to even now start declaring in faith that here comes the harvest. So you ready to do this with me? All right. Here comes the harvest. We're going to do it together again. Like we know it, like we mean it, like the Bible has said it. All right, ready? Here comes the harvest. Amen. Amen. As the return of Christ approaches, we understand that there will be a harvest of the Spirit. That's point number one. Here comes the harvest. As we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus, there's going to be a harvest of the Spirit. We're going back to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel 2, 28. And afterward, Joel says, all right, after what? After what? After we just got done with it, right? After we return to God, after we experienced the breakthrough of going from ruin to restoration, so we return to God, He takes us from ruin to restoration, He pours out His whole, I mean, just, it's amazing, right? After all of that happens, God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all people. I'm not done with you then. I've taken you from ruin to restoration, but there's more. There's more. And maybe somebody needs to hear that this morning. Maybe you know you've been rescued from ruin to restoration. You're saved. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a child of God. You're a saint. No longer a sinner. That's your old identity. You got it. You understand that. But you need to hear this morning that there's more. There's more. You've been longing for more. You've been hoping and praying for more. The message for you today is there's more. Let's check it out. Afterward, Joel says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Church, there is a harvest of the Spirit that is coming.
Yes, amen.
There's a harvest of the Spirit that is coming. There's an outpouring of spiritual gifts, of dreams and visions, manifestations that God has for the world to see. This is all going to happen. It's going to overtake the church, and we're going to all get to see it. Not only see it, but to participate in it. In fact, here's the deal. There's a harvest of the Spirit, and it has already come. It's already come. It's already started. See, these enhanced manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, happened after Christ came to this earth and then ascended to be with the Father. This harvest of the Spirit happened. It already came on a day called what? Pentecost, right? We already know what it looks like. We know what it sounds like. We know how it results. We know why there's a harvest of the Spirit. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. It's really not that far from Joel. Just pop over to the NT, the New Testament. Check it out there. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now, I highlight this every time I read, teach, or preach this scripture. They were all together in one place. Where were they? They were together. Together, like not theoretically together, like in the room together. They were all together in one place. They were praying together, in fact. 10-day prayer meeting is what it turned out to be. They were all together in one place praying. And the great harvest of the Spirit happens. When the saints were gathered together, waiting for the move of God, pressing in to Him, the harvest of the Spirit came. So, church, I want to say, let's come together. God is the same yesterday, today, and always. This is how He operates. When His people come together and seek His face, turn their attention to Him, humble themselves, God shows up. He shows up in those places. We have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. This past Wednesday, God really showed up. It was powerful. And there were evidence and manifestations of the Spirit that happened in that time, gifts of the Spirit that were released. So, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Verse 2, suddenly, 10 days later, suddenly, you're like, wait a minute, I thought suddenly was supposed to happen like 10 minutes into the service. We're supposed to, like, you know, heaven opens and I get the goosebumps, right? That's why I come to church, right? No, 10 days later, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Again, they were all together in one place. It filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. It's getting dramatic. Biblical, epic proportions going on right here. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now that sure sounds a lot like what Joel is prophesying about here. In those days, there was going to be a pouring out of the Spirit, dreams, visions, prophecy. That looks so much like what Joel is describing in this prophetic word. And then, back to the Pentecost, right? Then the people in Jerusalem, they were curious. What is going on? What is happening here? What are these people talking about? They're like, something is happening, and Peter gets up to help explain what's going on to everyone in Jerusalem. And what does Peter do to explain what's going on? He actually quotes this passage of the prophetic word of Joel to explain to the people, who most of them were very religious, and they knew that prophetic word, to say, hey, religious folks, hey, world, this is what's going on right now. Joel already prophesied. He already let us know that this is going to happen. And here it is. So it's already come on that day, that Pentecost day. But it is coming. So it's already come, but it's still going to come. And this breakthrough, this harvest of the Spirit, this massive use of the spiritual, it's going to happen again. When? In the end times, when Christ is returning. So it has come. We got a good taste of it. We saw it. Our brothers and sisters back there, the early church, recorded so beautifully for us right here, so we could be excited for what? For what is to come as Christ is returning. As the return of Jesus grows closer and closer, how many of you know it gets closer every day? Amen. Every day, we're one day closer to Christ returning. Every moment, we're one moment closer to the return of Jesus. When he comes from heaven, we meet him in the clouds, and he descends, and he comes to this earth, and we have the millennial kingdom reign of Christ Jesus, and then the ushering in of the eternal age. We're closer and closer and closer, and the closer we get to his return, the outpouring of the spiritual gifts in the church will increase, not decrease. The outpouring of the spiritual gifts in the church won't cease. They won't decrease, but they will increase the closer we get, according to the Word of God, according to the prophetic word that we see here in Joel. Some wrongly assume and teach that the manifest presence, the miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are diminishing, that they're even ceasing, that they have ceased, they're diminishing. The further we get from that day of Pentecost, that somehow the gifts of the Spirit are less and less available, less and less present. We hear that. It's sad, because it's exactly the opposite according to Scripture. Scripture tells us that the outpouring of the Spirit, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the visions, the dreams, the gifts of the Holy Spirit will actually be increasing as we approach the second coming of Christ. Increasing, not decreasing. And every day we're closer to Jesus' return. Every day the harvest of the Spirit grows. But here's the reality. The harvest of the Spirit's already come. It's coming. Biblical proportions. But it has come. It's here even right now. It's not like we have this void like it happened on the day of Pentecost, and then it goes you know, dark for 2,000 years, and then Christ comes back and there they are again. No, it has come, and they continue to come, and it will continue to increase the closer we get to the return of Christ. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to us right now today. Scripture declares that in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Those three chapters of 1 Corinthians are all about reminding the church and helping the church understand that the harvest of the Spirit is for the church right now. It's for the church today and tomorrow and the next day. And it also tells us in Scripture that we're to earnestly desire these spiritual gifts and to use them. Why? So that the church will be built up. And when the church is built up, we become ready as the bride of Christ for his return. He's coming back for his bride. I ask you, are you earnestly desiring and making yourself available for this harvest of the Spirit today in your life? Do you wake up in the morning longing for the Holy Spirit to pour Himself in you, through you, to use you, to equip you, to build the body of Christ up as we wait for the return of our King Jesus? I thank God that I'm part of a church that's full of people who are. Amen. Who are longing and eagerly desiring the fullness of what God has for His church. Yes. Yes. So here comes the harvest. Hallelujah. Ready to say that with me again? Come on, let's say it. Here comes the harvest. All right, that was good enough. We'll keep going. And so it's coming. The harvest is coming, and there are going to be signs that final end times harvest of the Spirit is here. And so that brings us to point two. Point one, there's a harvest of the Spirit. Point two, harvest signs. There are going to be signs. And that's what Joel shows us here next in verse 30. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. There are going to be signs. There's a harvest coming. There's a harvest that's happened. There's a harvest that is happening right now. And there is an end time harvest that is coming. And we're going to have signs. We're going to get to see and know that, hey, it's here and it's going on right now. God is gracious with us to give us signs, to give us a heads up. I often have to talk about this, that God doesn't want His people to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be clueless. Being a follower of Christ is not about being somebody who's clueless, just waiting for whatever's going to happen. No, the Lord has given us this, His Word, so that we don't have to be clueless. So that we can know who He is, so that we can know who we are, so that we can know what He has done and what He is going to do. He lays it out for us so clearly and beautifully. Because He wants us to know. He wants us to know. So there are going to be harvest signs. So I was thinking, how do you know that a baby is going to be born? There are signs, aren't there? Now the first one to get the signs that there's going to be a baby born is the mother. She begins to notice changes in her body. I don't know, I'm not a mom, I've never gone through this. But, you know, I'm married and I've seen four kids born. So I've watched it kind of happen secondhand. But my wife knew before I knew. She knew because things started to happen in her body. By God's grace, she didn't have a lot of morning sickness, but that's one way. That's one sign that something's happening, something's coming. Some women have morning sickness. Some women crave the craziest food, like pickles and ice cream together, right? I love pickles. I love ice cream. But I can't imagine putting them together, right? But there are these signs that start to happen, you know. And the mom is the first one to start having these signs that, hey, there's something coming. There's a baby on the way. Then the rest of us start seeing the signs that something's about to be born, right? We start seeing that baby bump. Okay, but we don't ever say anything. Whether we were smart, right? We're wise, right? We don't ever say anything. But we start going, hey, I think something's happening. Something's going on here. There are signs. And then finally, we know the birth is at hand because there are contractions, there's pain, there's a water breaking, and I'll just stop right there. I've seen all four of my kids be born. It's crazy. It's a miracle. I don't know how it happens other than God is the author of all life. And He makes it happen. And all I can say to the women in here who have given birth is respect. Wow. Okay? Wow. But again, there are signs that that's going to happen. There are signs that a baby is going to be born. And likewise, there's evidence, there are signs that the end times harvest is coming. There are going to be things that clue us in to, hey, it's about here. The last days, actually Pentecost was really the beginning of the last days. Did you know that? The end times. Pentecost. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was the beginning of the end, if you will. The beginning of the end times. But the wonders and the signs of Joel chapter 2 didn't happen on the day of Pentecost. But they will happen just preceding the return of Jesus. They will happen. And so we can keep our eyes open for those harvest signs. Some interpret the promises of Joel, the signs of Joel 2, 30 and 31, as purely symbolic. But I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I feel the proper biblical approach is to not read symbolism into the Word of God everywhere that it seems a little crazy. Because that tends to be what some people do, man. I can't understand it with my own understanding and intellect, then it must be symbolism of some sort. It must mean something a little different than it actually says. I think we got to really be careful about going there. And I believe these signs, these harvest signs of Joel chapter 2 are not symbolic, but they are actual signs. They are actual events that we're going to be able to see and hear and know that prophetic word of Joel is here and now. So keep a watch. They're coming. And we're going to see them. Here's the neat thing. I thought about that this morning, actually, is that so Pentecost, I was just saying earlier, was the beginning of the end. But if you think about it, it's really the beginning of the beginning. Isn't it? It's the beginning of the harvest of the Spirit, the harvest, the end times harvest that God has, and these signs, these harvest signs, aren't the beginning of the end. They're the beginning of the beginning. They're the beginning of Christ coming and his millennial kingdom reign and the eternal age. They're the beginning of eternity. Amen. And so anyway, that just got me excited this morning, so I thought I'd share it with you because I love you. You're my church family. But I want to get personal here for a moment. The signs, the troubles, the billowing smoke, the crazy apocalyptic stuff, the beginning, not of the end, but the beginning of the beginning. So let's look at our own lives. What happens? How are we interpreting signs in our own lives, things that are going on in our own lives? Maybe our life or relationships seem like they're up in smoke. Maybe seems like everything's on fire right now. Maybe you're in a season of your life that's full of drama. Maybe you feel like the circumstances appear dark. Might even feel like your dreams are dying. I just want to say this. Just as we can often misinterpret the signs even of Christ's return, and there's been a lot of people throughout history who have. You know, if you read different people, Jesus should have come back, you know, all kinds of times, you know, before, right? But there's been a little misunderstanding of it. We can also misinterpret the signs and the things that are going on in our own lives. And when we misinterpret those things, we can take actions that aren't necessarily the best actions. We look at trials and pains as the beginning of the end in our lives, rather than those trials and pains being the beginning of the beginning, the beginning of God's new thing, the beginning of the breakthrough, the beginning of the harvest. And so I just want to encourage you, just as we're looking at this from that grand, historic, eternal perspective that Joel is talking about, that you also look at your own life. How are you interpreting what's going on in your own life right now? The beginning of the end or the beginning of the beginning? The beginning of the breakthrough. The beginning of the harvest that God has. The doorway to your destiny. You know, before a harvest comes, there's plowing. There's planting. That's work, in other words, right? Plowing, it's not easy. How many of you have actually plowed? Ever, like, I'm not talking about a little garden, not like a little, you know, garden bed. I'm talking about like a field. How many of you have plowed a field? Okay, how many of you plowed a field walking behind an animal and holding that plow in the ground instead of driving a big old tractor? One, two. I see there's some men in the room. Check them out. That's some serious work. Plowing takes much effort. It can be tiring, can be difficult, painful even. Planting is also very hard. When we were down in Mexico, we saw all of these strawberry fields forever. I kept singing that song because there were strawberry fields everywhere. Driscoll, that company that you know ships the strawberries up here and all, they have fields everywhere in the region that we were in. They're 2 hours south of Ensenada and Kamalu in that area. And I looked at the people working those fields and all the effort that they had to put in before the harvest would come. And then it takes rain for us to have a harvest, for anything to grow. Rain. And rain isn't always the most pleasant thing when it's raining in our lives. But that's what it takes. When all of this is happening, when we're having to plow and plant and the rain is coming and the difficulties and we're having to get the bugs and all of that away from what's been planted in our lives, we got to remember in those times that the day of the Lord is coming, the breakthrough is coming, and here comes the harvest. It will follow. Here comes the harvest. All right, let's say it again together. I don't know if we have it up there, but just say, ready? Here comes the harvest. Nice job. Thanks for getting that up there. Perfect. Still, there's a belief that many, that everything in our world is moving towards defeat before Christ's return. That's a popular belief, that everything is just going to go to hell in a handbasket. Everything's going to fall apart before Jesus returns. In Romans 5:20, it says, "But where sin increased, grace increased all the more." Now, we know this. We know that sin is increasing all around us. You look at our culture. You look at what's going on in our culture. It's crazy what's happening in our sin is increasing. It's abounding. It's in our faces, up front and personal. People are losing their lives in droves because of sin that continues to increase. And it will continue to increase until Christ returns. However, the grace of God will also increase. Amen. Do you realize that? Yeah. It's getting bad, but the grace of God will increase. And Romans 5:20 says that it will increase all the more than the sin that's increasing around us. God's grace will increase all the more. Do you understand that? Yeah. Do we take that in when we see sin abounding? Do we respond with, oh man, it's falling apart and everything's going to hell in a handbasket and oh, this world's a horrible place? Or do we go, hey, grace abounds all the more. Jesus is the King. He's coming back. There's a harvest coming. The victory has already been won and it's ours. The miracles, the wonders, the visible power, the manifestations will increase even as sin is increasing, and they will increase all the more. So I want to say this. When you see things falling apart around you, I mean, I want our response to be, hey, let's get together all together in one place because God's grace is increasing now all the more. As we're seeing the wheels fall off of the world, look out because the church is getting filled. If we're ready for it and positioned, if we have eyes to see, the grace of God will increase. I love Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now to him who is able, who is him? Jesus, right? To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to what? According to his power that is at work where? Within us. So the power of God is working through who? Us. So God is able to do immeasurably more through us. Grace will abound even more. Through who? I'm pulling truth together here. It's happening, it's going to happen, and it is happening through us, the church, for his glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout generations forever and ever. Amen. This power in us will release a harvest. I want to say this. The Lord gave me this word, and I want to say it so clearly. The church isn't dying. The church is not dying. Rather, it's being refined, purified, and strengthened right now. The church isn't dying. It's being refined, purified, sifted, strengthened for the harvest. Because, church, here comes the harvest. It's coming. It's coming. And this leads us to the final point. There is coming a great harvest of deliverance. Joel 2:32. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes. That's grace right there. You want to talk about grace increasing. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance. As the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. See, the mission of Christ remains the same, to seek and save the lost. That's his heart. That's what he's thinking about right now. To seek and save the lost. We're in a season, we're entering a season of great harvest, of salvation and deliverance, where Jesus receives the reward of his suffering. Sin is abounding, but grace is abounding all the more. And his power, his work, his kingdom is being released in and through his church, us. On the day of Pentecost, let's run back there for a moment. Not only did the Holy Spirit bless the church with spiritual gifts, which is fantastic, right? But this harvest of the Spirit brought about a harvest of deliverance. Remember what happened when they came out filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in different tongues, and then Peter gets up and he preaches. This is the same guy that was afraid to be associated with Jesus just, you know, 50 days earlier or so, right? He was fearful, but now he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with that power that brings grace that abounds. And he gets out there and, filled with the Spirit, he begins to preach. He begins to preach, and what does he quote? He quotes Joel 2, 28 and 32. And what was the result of preaching the gospel? Filled with the Spirit. A harvest of the Spirit brings a harvest of deliverance. With many words, verse 40, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. There was on that same day an amazing biblical proportion harvest of the Spirit that resulted in a harvest of deliverance. It's happened before. And Joel is prophesying that it will happen again as Christ returns. And I'm here to say that it should happen every day in the church that's on this earth right here and right now. Because God is pouring out his Spirit on us to build us up, to equip us for his return, get us ready for his return, and to release his power and a harvest of deliverance in our world even today. And he's not coming back yet so that we would do this and there would be a great harvest of deliverance. I want to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, meaning he's not dragging his feet on coming back. Why hasn't he come back? It's been 2,000 years. I don't know if this is really true. What's he talking about, right? He's not slow. He hasn't forgot about this promise. Rather, check this out. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's still the Lord of the harvest. Hallelujah. And the harvest of deliverance is coming. And we're called to be part of that today, even now. We're the church. And when Jesus returns on that great and dreadful day of the Lord, when he vanquishes all the enemies of God's people, he again will pour out his Spirit in a powerful way, and many will be saved. Hallelujah. Many will be saved. Yes. He will pour out a harvest of the Spirit and the result will be a harvest of deliverance. And I'm here to tell you, as the pastor of this church, right here, right now, why not now?
Yes.
Why not today?
Yes.
Why not a harvest of the Spirit today? Why not a harvest of deliverance today? That's the heart of God. He desires that none would perish.
Amen.
And we have people all around us right now perishing. How do we see this harvest of deliverance? There needs to be a harvest of the Spirit happening in the church today, right now. And the church needs to be that church that's eagerly desiring that harvest of the Spirit today, because the result of a harvest of the Spirit is a harvest of deliverance, and that's the heart of God. That none would perish, but all would be saved through Jesus.